Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Coming up on 5 o'clock here, week 5 of the National Football League. Dan Ball, put a pin in it. Reminder, we should probably do a little update on the WEEI Station Fantasy Football League, of which one team is co-managed by Ted Johnson and Stiz. Some point in time next week.
The Master Blasters.
The Master Blasters. How they doing? Quick look, because you did take Drake May, I believe.
I think we beat Davey Eyeballs, Keith's boy,
hey.
This weekend. Yep.
All right.
Or last weekend, I should
okay.
say.
Ted, do you have no knowledge of
no,
this
no,
team?
No, I don't. How do we do the first 3 weeks?
Great, Bob.
Okay.
You're one in three?
You want this information now?
Sure,
Andrew?
Give us a quick update.
All right, so you guys are the Master Blasters, currently sitting at 1-3. So you do have a win, 3 losses.
You know, I went to the Super Bowl and won it starting the season 1-3. So we're going to
well,
be
I like
okay.
It. I like
Guess
it.
What? This ain't going to happen like that.
I like dumb odds.
The good thing is the Dale Arnold division, of which you are a part, is very competitive right now. Davey, Andy Hart, and Nick from the Midday Show are all 2-2. Terp, these guys, the Master Blasters, and Frizoco are all 1-3.
Oh,
Dale
please.
Here.
The division is up for grabs right now. The Glenn Ordway division is a war zone right now. Me, Scheim, and Jones are 3-1.
Oh.
Fitzy, Keefe, and Billy are 2-2.
So that's the stronger division.
The NFC North.
Yeah.
Wow.
Man, okay.
So,
loaded with talent.
Still anybody's game for the Master Blasters. And this week, by the way, it is Team Ballbusters versus Andrew's amazing team because for some reason, Andy decided he was too good to name his team.
Wow. I love that listeners
Come
and Ted
on now.
Johnson
Holler back.
Find out at the same time about his team. That is tremendous. All right. It's 5 o'clock. It's time for the drive. Caught Stiz with his pants down back there.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. In the left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
Well, the Red Sox have been eliminated, not only from the playoffs, but also from, I think, the debate that we had between the Patriots and Red Sox who would win more games in October. The Oops. Answer for the Red Sox is zero. And I think, maybe I'm giving the Patriots too much credit. I think they can find a way to win at least one of these games coming forward after the Bills. A lot of winnable football games on there. So, but the Red Sox fall 4-0. Their offense let them down. 13 strikeouts, a number we monitored all year long. And their record when they struck out double-digit times, not good. We looked at the guys batting 0-0-0 in the postseason, and that would include two key names that I feel like most people would say are some of the better hitters on the Red Sox. Sadon Rafaela.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he went 0-4 last night with 3 strikeouts.
Oof.
He batted 0-0-0 for the postseason, including that infamous or famous bunt that got to the pitcher.
Yep.
Nice job there.
Yep.
Willier Abreu was 0-3 last night with 2 strikeouts. He finishes the postseason 0-0-0. The Red Sox score 0 runs. They do find a way to put a crooked number in the error column. A couple errors, thanks. Well, that's really what we needed. And more importantly, their defense just wasn't there. Even without the errors, they couldn't get to a ball in center field for Rafaela. They couldn't get to a ball at second base for Romy Gonzalez. They couldn't field a ball at first base for Nate Lowe. You can earn the Nathaniel back right now. You're Nate Lowe because you didn't get the job done. And they were eliminated. So what coulda, shoulda, woulda been merely a day earlier based on the fact that they had opportunities to win game two. They're out of the playoffs. The Yankees advance. Was it a successful season? I say 100% it was successful. Ted, you brought this up a little bit. Reflecting time, looking back on it, you'll feel a little bit. I get right now. You're disappointed because some idiot on the radio told you that because you won game one, you were going to win the series.
Yeah.
And that idiot was proven wrong. For the first time in the history of baseball, the team didn't win the series. But when you look back in a few weeks, they were eliminated from the playoffs. In the playoffs. That's better than being eliminated from the playoffs in August or September or long prior to the playoffs. So, Fitzy, did you feel success in the season that was 2025?
I felt success. I felt success in the gratification of many exciting games, thrilling finishes, winning streaks, walk-off home runs, bombastic calls from the booth with Fleming and Middlebrooks and Merlone and McDonough. I felt success in finally seeing the youth movement come to the fore with Marcelo Meyer flashing serious leather and pretty good at the plate. Obviously, we'll see about your guy, Christian Campbell. And, of course, the Roman Empire is upon us. And, unfortunately, that oblique injury took him out of, well, the pennant run at the end and then, obviously, the postseason. But not only is there a lot to look forward to with this team, but they gave us a great ride. It was our first postseason trip in 4 years. All right, it sucks that they lost to the Yankees. And now, unfortunately, they're that statistical footnote, first team to ever lose a three-game wild card series when winning the first game. But you know what? I'll forgive him. Time will heal all wounds. I had fun this year.
Ted, time will heal all wounds, but so would making some improvements to the roster as you get into free agency, maybe some trades. As Brad Foe said, they will revisit the Joe Ryan trade. But what is one area they absolutely have to improve this offseason, absolutely have to upgrade?
I think they got to get starting pitching, and I think they got to get a big bat.
I said one area.
Oh, you did. You did. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. If one or the other, I would probably say a big bat.
Me too.
I'd probably say, because I think, you know, Hunter Dobbins, I liked what I was seeing from him before he got hurt. Tanner Houck, you know, but I think he can pitch better than he pitched before he got hurt this year. Is Lucas Giolito still under contract? Right. He had a pretty good year. Mucked it up in September before he got hurt. So I'd probably say, okay, I'm feeling pretty confident about our pitching, but give me one more big bat. Now I could say, you know, well, that's Roman Anthony. He's your leadoff. Now we need someone in the middle of the order that's a big bat.
And let's take a little bit of the pressure off Roman Anthony. Let's just let him be a guy who will be playing his first full major league season. And it's funny, Fitzy, I didn't miss Roman Anthony as much as you'd think you would, because we had anointed him as the best hitter on this team, maybe the best player on this team. And then I was watching the Padres, and I watched Jackson Merrill, their left-handed 22-year-old, whatever he is, hit a home run, and he kind of has a similar look, and people compare Roman, and I was like, oh, we had one of those that could have done that, except he wasn't available. When I watched Jackson Merrill go deep, it made me realize how much I missed Roman Anthony.
Yeah, not only the danger of the bat, but also great fielding. Remember also a couple weeks back before he got hurt in Yankee Stadium, I think it was a seventh inning home run, absolutely murdered it to right field and then flipped the bat. And like the swagger, the fact that he had to be accounted for at all times, the energy that he gave the fan base, but most especially the team, like that oblique injury, like it almost basically diffused all optimism heading towards the postseason. I'd like to give a shout out that they made it, and also that these guys went to a game three with the Yankees, because Sogard and Romy and like that, they almost had no business being on. Yeah, Eaton, exactly. Why didn't you send them? Yeah, no, they didn't almost have any business being on that field, so good for them.
I don't know why you guys keep talking about Roman Anthony. It was really Roman Anthony's mom.
And you can't take your eyes off his mom.
That's what I was most excited about this year.
Or his sister.
Sister.
Okay.
What? We're not allowed to just identify the fact that she's a very smart person?
Yes, she is. And the whole Anthony family, then everything that goes into it.
But there was a lot of things that this summer, let's face it, they gave us a summer.
Absolutely.
Summer baseball, which we haven't had here in a long time. Helping us get through the summer by being competitive was, to me, a huge success.
Not just competitive, fun, entertaining. The Friday night after Friday night after Friday night. Yep.
I was at one. You were at one.
We all Fitzy were, yes. Yeah. And we all cared into September, and we cared mightily. We had frickin' Stiz, who loves to tell you he's new to this whole sports and investment. Like, he was on the edge of his seat watching baseball the last three nights. Like, that is what they did. They're bringing in energy. I know my son was, like, getting codes to use whatever cable to get. They were all getting together in their dorm rooms to watch the Red Sox last night. They gave us an entertaining season. They gave us a playoff season. And they gave us reason for hope because of Marcelo Meyer, because of Roman Anthony, because of Peyton Tolley.
Even Christian Campbell to some degree.
You know what to some degree, lesser degree for me, I would trade him for Joe Ryan. But Peyton Tolley, think about Peyton Tolley. We are all going to be paying close attention next spring training, not even the season, because we're going to get reports. Hey, does Peyton Tolley throw anything but a fastball? Because if so, he seems like he could be a really good pitcher.
Nope. You're going to be hearing that he's worked to develop two other pitches.
Absolutely. In spring training. Yeah. We're not even going to wait till April or late March for that. We're going to be talking about that in February. Yeah, so you have begun the process of building a longer-term connection with the Boston Red Sox, right? There'll be some changes, but I agree with you, Ted. The big bat, because Roman Anthony is a great player. I don't know that he's the quote-unquote big bat. You want a bopper, right? Like, he's going to hit you 25 home runs is probably a nice number for him.
I mean, Roman had just a couple.
So, but
he just got on base all the time.
Can you bring in a guy that is supposed to kind of roll out of bed and hit 30, 35 home runs? I mean, we got guys hitting 50 home runs. The big dumpers hitting 60 home runs.
I feel like this season what it did was you got a lot of people that are going to be engaged from jump next year, as opposed to, it looks like a good team this year, but we're not sure. We're not fully bought in. I think people will be fully bought in from spring training to start the season.
Ted, as they say in zone coverage, something comes in, something goes out, right, of your zone. Well, if something comes in, if you're bringing in new talent, that means something's got to go. Bradfo, what could go?
Who would you say you'd buy into or believe is most likely not going to be on the team next year?
Ooh, not going to be on a team.
Could be part of the trade.
Duran. I mean, Duran, I think. And you know, I think that it's going to be really interesting. We said all along that, you know, at the time of the deadline, you weren't trading Duran because of what he meant to that team, both on the field and off the field. But, you know, his Q rating has gone down significantly. And
so is his average.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, and also, like, you know, his defense, his throwing, it's everything. He just was a shell of what he was, used to be. And so, you know, we all knew, guys, that you're going to have to deal one of these outfielders with Roman Anthony. And let's not forget the Roman Anthony dynamic. I don't know if anyone cares about that. And by the way, he wasn't coming back. He was like, he wasn't even doing baseball stuff. He was never coming back. Yeah. And so, but, you know, I think that they have to trade one of these guys. I think that what they saw from Duran wasn't necessarily exactly what they want from that position. They want better defense. They want more consistent offense. He wasn't able to hit lefties. He wasn't the version of Duran they had the year before that San Diego fell in love with. So I would think that that would be a very, very real thing, because it's going to be one of those guys. And my guess is that they like Rafaela and they like Willie Abreu. And obviously Yoshida sort of revitalized himself to show what he can do. So, you know, I think that that's probably the guy more than anything. And I know that you're going to bring up Bregman, but, you know, I'm sitting here, guys, and I'm like, wow, you know, you opt out of that deal with those numbers after that second half.
Nope, no way he is.
That's still hard for me to get my head around. It really is.
So there was a lot there from Bradfo. Before Fitzy led the witness down the trade Jaron Duran road, I missed it live. He said Lucas Giolito first was the first name he brought up, which is interesting. I'm not going to pretend I totally understand the whole innings thing and the mutual option year.
He has the
thing.
Opt out now. He reached his innings cap, so that he didn't get that $250,000 bonus, but he did pitch enough so that if he believes. Now, of course, it could all just be based around elbow health. If that thing is in tatters or he doesn't think that upon examination he's going to get that money, Andy, he could stay with the Sox. But if he's full healthy, gets a clean medical bill of goods, why wouldn't he want to go to market and be like, hey, until my elbow tweak happened, look how good I was. I want a 4 or 5 year deal at $30 million per. I mean, I wouldn't give him that money, but he may ask for it.
Yeah, I think you have three guys that we're talking about opting out in Trevor Story, St. Bregman, and Giolito, who, did they have good years? Sure. But are there easy arguments against them opting out? Absolutely. Right? I mean, Trevor Story became a defensive liability practically down the stretch here, even though he was one of your better hitters, the only guys that really showed up to hit at Yankee Stadium. But, I mean, is he going to hit the – how old is he? He's like 30, mid-30s almost.
47.
Yeah. So I think but all these opt-out guys, it's going to be interesting, and you could just have them all not – I don't know if maybe they do a weird...
No way Bregman's opting out. No way.
I just wonder if they do him a solid and there's like a 1 year tacked on something. So now instead of 2 and 80, it's 3 and 100. Yep. or just like a, I'll respect you. It'll look like you're getting more, but you and I both know you Good aged Lord. A little this season kind of thing.
Probably so.
I could see that happening, but...
That would turn his deal. If they gave him one extra year for $20 million, that would basically make it a 4 year, $140 million deal, which would be 35 per.
Yeah.
You can get a decent 3-bedroom in the Seaport for that.
Yeah, but he's not. I mean, he's St. Bregman. He's the leader. Yep. He's the face. He's the guy who winked at Lou Maloney and told Lou they were going to win, and then they went out and fell on their faces.
Hey, by the way, I was looking at like young players that you may want to use for a comp or what you could hope or expect out of Roman Anthony. And I think if you just sort of like tweak or calibrate Pete Crow Armstrong's numbers. So this season for Chicago, huge year for him. Batted 250, 31 ding-dongs, 95 ribeyes, 150 hits, a couple stolen bags as well. So I'd say if you drop the power by 20%, but you raise the average, because I think we all believe that Roman Anthony's a better for average hitter, that's what you could look forward to.
He's now, better.
That's not
He'll be better.
Of the, yeah, but like Pete Crow Armstrong's a damn good ball player.
Well, I think struggled over the second half, but...
Yeah.
216 well, average, but yeah.
He's a kid.
Yeah, and they're all kids. I mean, I have higher aspirations for Roman Anthony. I think Roman Anthony should be, I mean, the names we've heard were Juan Soto, were Barry Bond, like these crazy highest
Jesus
of high
Christ
end.
Himself.
Ted Williams.
No. JC, you know. No, but people expect him to be
the man.
Yeah, the man.
Like, absolutely.
Like one of the major stars of this sport.
Speaking, Babe Gehrig.
Yes, Dan Ball.
Let me lay out a stat line, see if this seems about what we're looking for Roman Anthony next year. 145 games, 291 average, 820 OPS, 18 home runs, 77 runs batted in.
That's, love that.
That sound decent?
That sounds good.
It sounds decent to me.
I like wish I had a little bit more runs. A little bit more runs.
10% more across the board.
So,
is that from Chat MLB?
That is just baseball references, yes, to Mookie Betts' age 22 season in 2015 with the Boston Red Sox.
Okay.
Quick side note on Mookie Betts. It cut deep the other night when they were showing him on ESPN before
having
the
fun. Good time.
No, it said Mookie Betts, whose 3 World Series rings lead all active major league players. Ooh. I was like, you son of a gun. What coulda, shoulda, woulda been. Drake May and the Patriots head to Buffalo on Sunday night. It's a matchup of Drake May to Josh Allen, the MVP, who he is often compared to. But I feel like there's a weird surge of optimism in Patriot Nation. I feel like there's more people that either really want to pick the Patriots or flat out are picking the Patriots to win on Sunday night in Buffalo. And the flip side is apparently true in Buffalo. It sounds like there's a little bit of a trepidation heading into this matchup on the Buffalo side of things. Maybe the Buffalo radio hosts think that there's a chance that the Patriots could pull the upset this week. Is that true? And do you think there is a chance the Patriots pull the upset?
I think the Buffalo media contingent is a little bit disappointed with the level at which the Bills have played defensively. And I also think there's a little bit, and I've kind of brought this up this week, the last two games, Miami, where they get off this quick start, and you're like, they're going to run out of the building. And the next thing you know, you look up again, and it's like, hey, what? How's Miami get the ball down 7 and moving it? Like, what happened? Same thing with New Orleans last week. Yep. Jump out to a fast start. They're going to run them right out of that place. And then, again, third quarter, because we've got the Patriots game, I'm doing that, covering that. And I look down at the scoreboard, and I'm like, wait, they're losing? They're losing to the Saints? Mm-hmm. So I think they've been playing with their food a little bit, your advantage, if they continue to look at you like they've looked at some of these other teams. Or maybe Sean McDermott gets their attention this week and says, you know, this is a pretty big game. These guys are coming in loaded for bear, feeling good about themselves. Like, show them who's boss.
Yeah, I don't think it's hard for Sean McDermott to do that.
Nope.
I think you can make a strong argument the Patriots are the second best team in the division. The quarterback across the ball is the second best quarterback.
They are definitely the second best
team, yep. Right? Like, he's selling that to his team. And
I'd sell him that this might be the best team you've played all year.
Well, I mean, I still think the Ravens
are 1-3, and got the worst defense in the NFL.
Yeah, we'll see how this maps out. But I, you know, and that's a game where they scored 41, I believe. That was their season
41-40, yep.
They clearly went into that thinking that was a big game against a big opponent, a Super Bowl caliber opponent. I don't know if they're going to talk themselves into the Patriots being contenders. But
what if I put it to you this way? The Buffalo Bills have played the easiest schedule of any team to start the season. The four teams they have played have the worst records and the worst defensive and out and
I would say
production.
I disagree because they had to play the Ravens, and the Ravens are a better team than their record would indicate, and certainly were better heading into that game. You're talking about a team many people were picking to win the Super Bowl, go to the Super Bowl. So
yeah.
I think numerically it plays out that way. But I think the best team they played was the Ravens. But you could argue the second best is going to be this Sunday night in Buffalo, and if they convince themselves that they're the best, then you could be in trouble.
Yeah,
because well,
it's a Sunday night game, so everyone's watching, and plus the Patriots had a 14-0 lead on you and only lost by 3 points in Buffalo last year.
Yeah, and as far as this Sunday night's game goes, we had Mr. Buffalo himself, Sal Capaccio from WGR 550 on the Six Rings pod this morning. Looks like Ed Oliver is going to play. He was questionable, was back at practice today. The ankle's been dinged up, but that's a big plus for them on their defensive line because he's a great run stopper. Secondary's a little dinged up as well. And as far as the way the Buffalo Bills and the fans are preparing up there, I know what Giardi was doing at the Giardi party on Buffalo Radio yesterday, but Sal said that there's a lot of respect for the Patriots and Drake May because they see basically who they see coming to town is the 2019 Buffalo Bills, a team that was getting it together but was still a year or two off from being dominant.
And also there's a report that Matt Milano, who got a serious injury last year, is back in practice. I don't know if he's going to play.
I think so.
Did they say in Buffalo?
I think he's going to play too. I think he's going to play
those
as well.
Those are two
Ted.
Big additions right there.
Yeah. But Milton Williams returned to practice today, Ted. So his bum wheel looks good enough to go as well. So that's a plus for the Patriots.
And Christian Gonzalez has a game under his belt, so we can do this all day long. The back and forth. I will say, it's kind of fun, just like it was fun for the Red Sox to be in the playoffs and going to Yankee Stadium. We're talking about playoff baseball. It's kind of fun to be talking about a Patriots at Bills game and not be like, oh, blowout. This one's going to be over in the second. To actually
it's
kind
been
of
a
be
long
doing.
Time,
yeah.
Right? It's
We're
been
actually
a long time.
Considering aspects of the game, taking it seriously. So that's going to do it for the drive today. That's going to do it for the drive for the week. Up next, it's Friday. It's 5:30. It's time for us, well, I'll speak for myself. It's time for me to embarrass myself with my lack of knowledge picking NFL games. Pick 6 next here on WEEI Afternoons. But for the final time today and the final time this week, unless Christian Arcan makes him do it again like he did last night, here is what's trending.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can watch the show anytime via our live stream on Twitch.
Just go to twitch.tv/BostonWEEI.
And check out WEEI on YouTube for our video on-demand content updated daily. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
I used to know every word to this. Every word.
What era is this?
This is late 90s?
Late 90s.
In my prime.
Oh, man, there's so many great songs from the late 90s, early 2000s.
The 2000s. It's the best era of music.
It might be.
Wow. Might I didn't think anyone would agree with that.
Yeah, it might be. I mean, some would argue the 80s. I would argue the 70s. A lot of people would say the late 90s.
See, that's weird because I figured I argue the 90s because I was like in high school and college, and that's probably a prime music time.
Yeah.
You'd say the 70s when you weren't a thing. Like, you weren't in high school and college.
Oh, but I had older siblings. That's all they listened to. So I had four older half-sisters, two older stepbrothers. So it's all they listened to was, you know, 70s. So I came up listening to 70s rock.
All right, enough
Hell,
about
you can
music.
You make an argument in the 60s.
I can't.
Watch
I can't.
A great movie, real side note, Pirate Radio. You ever seen the movie Pirate
great
Radio?
Great movie. Great movie.
It's a lot next? Of people don't know about this movie. It's a soundtrack, and it's from the 60s, but it's based on a true story where, you know, they to play rock music, you had to go out into the ocean because it was illegal to play it in the UK.
Like offshore gambling?
Yep. You had to go out.
Literally.
The radio station was out on a boat way out in the ocean.
Oh.
And it just talked about the lives out there and how, you know, people bringing rock and roll music to the people.
And that's when the DJs were actually picking the music each song by song.
And actually playing a record, putting a needle on a record on an album there. Huh. Is that next in the Ted Johnson Movie Club?
We got to get that going again.
Yeah, we do.
It probably will not be, but you know what? Maybe for the summer. I'll save it for the summer.
Okay. Add that to the list.
Or a summer movie.
Speaking of lists, we have a list of games that we picked last week and we'll pick this week. We're not very good at this, and I'm speaking for all of us.
Yourself.
No, nobody. We're none
Way
of us are good.
We encourage the audience. Jeez.
We are due. We are due because my gambling app account is getting low, and I'm losing money every week when I put money on this. But it is now time for the pick six.
A pick six. He's picked. Touchdown on a pick six. Jones with the pick six, and he flips the game. Let's go.
I was going to say, yeah, Andy, speak for yourself because the dynamic duo of Dan and Ted are both 3-1 entering week 5 with your picks. So if you're tailing us, you're having a good time. But if you're putting together the Andy Hart Bank Account Memorial 6-Way Parlay, you've had a tough 4 weeks so far. So this week's parlay, $10 wins you $4.50.46. That's plus 4404. A lot of fours and these numbers this week. We're going to tell you how we got to that number, beginning with Andy Hart's pick in week 5.
So it'll be more than 450 for me because I always get the profit boost and really try to maximize my odds
here. Sick brag, bro.
No, it's not a brag when you don't win. It's just a donation to the casino. But I am going to stick with a good football team that is undefeated and still isn't playing well. We talked to Schefter about it. The Philadelphia Eagles are a 3.5-point favorite at home against the Denver Broncos. I'm not a believer in the Broncos at all, and I believe that one of these weeks, the Eagles are going to click, and you're going to get Saquon averaging more than 3 yards a carry. You're going to get A.J. Brown happy scoring touchdowns. This could be the week. Either way, they will cover that 3.5. Give me the Eagles.
It's funny. The Eagles, on paper, don't look like a very good team, but yet they're 4-0.
Nope.
That's a little scary.
And 4-0 with a good schedule, unlike the Bills.
Yeah, but they're getting outrushed, outpassed. And I think they've given up more yards, and yet somehow they're undefeated. Like, it's a miracle. And Saquon Barkley hasn't even gotten activated yet. A.J. Brown kind of, like, stuck in second gear. It's pretty amazing. So if they get going, watch out.
Well, when you can do an illegal play over and over and over again.
Oh, for crying out loud, give it up, Johnson.
Too. Probably why they are winning these games, because they cheat.
Jesus, Jesus. Joseph.
Jesus, okay. Jesus. Andy has the cheaters minus 3.5. Fitzy, your pick.
I'm going to go with a very unconventional pick. I didn't like this week's slate at all. I'm not going to do a lot of wagering and picking. But for this particular segment, I think I'm going to go with the plucky upstart who's coming off of his first start last week and his first win. Huge dub for young Jackson Dart at home against Jim Harbaugh's Chargers. Now they go on the road in what is supposed to be a revenge game for him. He wanted to be drafted by the New Orleans Saints. They said, no, we're going to take Tyler Shuck and hold on to the Rattler. So in a revenge game, I'll take 1.5. I say they even win outright. I'll take the New York. They might be football giants at the Saints.
Kind of like that. Andy Hart's a big Jackson Dart guy.
I am. As Fitzy says, it's one consonant away from him being my son.
There you go. Sometimes that's all you need. Who needs analytics numbers and stuff like that when you got logic like that? Ted Johnson, you're picking week 5.
All right, so I picked this one early in the week, and I got the...
You mean you picked it before Andy Hart, so
that's
he
right.
can't bitch on Monday?
So he
jumped on
me.
It.
So I got the Lions playing the Bengals in Cincinnati. The Lions are favored by 9.5. And, yeah, I'm taking the Lions. Ooh.
That's a big number, Tud. It
says 10.5 here.
Well, my my ESPN website says 9.5. So do we want to?
I love it at 9.5.
Which one are we going at?
I'm going with 10.5. Dan Ball is the guy who runs the show.
Dan, 9.5 or 10.5?
I defer to the Super Bowl linebacker on
Thank
this
you.
One.
9.5, baby.
It does change the parlay value a little bit. The sports book that shall not be named had them at 10.5 when I was putting this together, but we'll go with Ted Johnson's 9.5. Right. We'll buy the point on your behalf.
All right, I appreciate that, Daniel. Thank you very much. So this is not you go. That's a lot of points, Ted. Mm-hmm. You're willing to risk that? Yeah, I am, because right now the average margin of victory for the Lions is almost 13 points, and the for the Cincinnati Bengals, they're second to last in that category at minus 14 points. Jake Browning, not a believer in him. He's not even completing 60% of his passes, and that offense for the Lions is just poof. Good luck trying to stop that, and the defense is playing pretty good. So I see the Lions blowing out the Bengals in this game Sunday.
And Troy Aikman basically accused the Bengals of giving up, quitting, not trying hard. So,
which is kind of wild.
Like, seems like fresh meat that the Lions will take advantage of.
Yeah, you got these overpaid wide receivers and a quarterback that can't even get it to them. What's the point, right?
It's almost like they should have taken some of that money and invested elsewhere, somewhere a line, offensive kind of line. I don't know.
Almost like they should trade T. Higgins to the Patriots so the Patriots can have a number one wide receiver.
Nailed
it. Talking about.
There you go. On we go. So we got Eagles, Giants, Lions in the parlay so far this week. Let's go to my man behind the glass, my behind the glass brethren who reset the music, so I'll stretch a little bit longer. Nope. Stiz, what do you got this week?
All right. I'm going to pick the Dolphins. They're at Carolina. Dolphins favored by 1.5. Both 1-3 teams, and I know the Dolphins don't have Tyreek Hill, but I think A-Chan gonna run wild on the Panthers. Horrible rush defense, and the Panthers just got smoked by the Pats, so they're coming off a rough week, too. Give me the Dolphins.
Wait, you were studying rush defenses?
Hey,
dude,
listen.
He's taking this job
seriously. I'm trying.
Man.
Very. He is invested.
Stiz, yeah. I just to see you grow from this just little whatever.
Little
no, I want to hear the whatever. I want to hear the beginning of that sentence from a little what?
A little twerp that you were.
That's all right. That's all right.
You know, naive. And now look at you. You're just a sports expert now.
That's right.
Guy loves sports. And he's going to keep watching the baseball playoffs, too. I know that for a fact. All right. Our guy Brian Frizoko, who's running social in the Twitch right now, has the Raiders covering against the Colts. A little bit of a revenge game coming there. Colts potentially taking a step back. I don 't know. Depends where you get it right now. It's 6.5 on ESPN Bet. I had it at +7 on DraftKings. And my pick, I have the Chargers bouncing back after their game against Jackson Dart and the Giants. Good game taking on the Commanders. 3-1 Chargers, 2-2 Commanders. Jaden Daniels is playing, but he hasn't played since week 2, September 11th. So it's been a while. I'm not confident in what he's going to bring. Terry McLaurin has been ruled out, so don't love where the offense is. I see a bounce back game for the Chargers. I have them at -2.5 in our parlay this week.
Ooh, I'm feeling good about this parlay, guys.
Yeah, more importantly, we have a bounce back week. Week 5 is our week for the Pick 6 parlay. So if you put $10 down, Dan, you're telling me I can walk away with $450.
Depends on the number we give Ted. But somewhere around there, yeah.
Plus, I only put $2 down because otherwise I'd go broke by the end of this show. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, it's time for Odds and Ends on a Friday. That means we're going to pick the Patriots game. And I think you might be a little surprised with a couple of the picks you hear next here on WEEI.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
A they minor. Like when they did that like become us. A big deal? When was that?
It was probably about 6 months ago. It was before the Super Bowl because Kendrick performed at the Super Bowl.
Right.
You guys are going to be wishing Kendrick was performing at the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, my God. Dude, I have listened to, I've done multiple Bad Bunny listens on my Apple Music. Yeah.
The beats are fire, but it's just not in English.
Nope.
That was a funny... The beats are fire, but it's just not in English. Okay, that's
good description. No, like Monaco, that song Monaco, instrumentally, that song is absolutely fire, but yeah. Well, it's going to bring in a huge audience.
Feliz Navidad, I like. And Shakira's got some music I like, right?
Wait, what is... What?
You said it wasn't in English, and that was...
It's not. Okay. Half of Feliz Navidad is in English. That's also not a bad bunny song.
No, I was saying it doesn't have to be in English for people to like it. Anyway, it's time now for Odds and Ends here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. We are going to pick the Patriots game. I'm going to start with Ted Johnson. Sunday Night Football, Buffalo, Josh Allen, the Bills, Drake May, the Patriots. Who's going to win?
I got the Patriots winning this one in a close one. 21 to zip. A lot of people think it's going to be a higher scoring game. I do not, because I think the Patriots are going to try and slow this game down and get their running game going, although it's been a middle-of-the-pack time, a rushing attack, if not a little bit worse. The Buffalo Bills can not stop the run. That is, they're very good against stopping the pass. They suck against stopping the run. They give up 164 yards. So I think they're going to slow the game down, and that is an advantage to the Patriots. So I think it's going to be a lower scoring game. I think the Bills have played the softest schedule, softest poo. They have the worst combined records of the first four teams they played of any other team so far. And just so people know, after the Patriots play them, they have the 28th easy schedule moving forward. So Buffalo's going to rack up the wins. And then also, I thought it was something interesting, is Vrabel, his record as an underdog when he was at Tennessee, those years he was there from 2018 to 2023, his record as an underdog when he was his opponent was favored by 7.5 points or more was 4-4, so a 500 record. The same, all the other teams in the NFL with that same underdog status were 67-327, so a 0.170 winning percentage. So this is kind of where Vrabel shines, is when he's the underdog, he's not expected to win. His teams in Tennessee have found ways to win, and I think the Patriots will find a way in this game as well.
Okay, so I'm going to keep the momentum going then, and I'll go next. I'm going to take the Patriots to win as well. I'm going to say Patriots 31, Buffalo 28. I think points are scored. I think it takes 30 points to beat the Bills. I'm not going to lean on Vrabel as much as I'm going to lean on Drake May. I think Drake May is going to come out excited to prove something, and that's going to be a good thing, not a bad thing. I've seen allusions to, oh, he's going to be too amped up and miss a bunch of throws early. Nope, I think he's going to come out hot. I think he's going to drive right down the field.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like to see them win the toss, take the ball, drive down the field, and make the Bills play from behind. I was also sort of bullied into this by my friends on a WJAB main radio station this morning, so I got to be consistent. I can't be that guy that picks different scores, different outcomes in different cities. So Patriots 31, Bills 28, Nick Fitzy Stevens.
Well, I hate to derail the Pats, Patty, but since I'm the Yankee poopa from last night. I know.
Are you even a Boston guy anymore?
No.
Who are you? New York Nick.
He's yeah, right, exactly. Just hey, the same way that Schlittler is not from Boston, right? Apparently being from Braintree means I'm not from Boston either. So the full heel turn is complete with my selection of Buffalo 30, Patriots 24. Pats fans get the moral victory Monday. They see that their team belongs on the same field as the Buffalo Bills. However, Buffalo, with that 26-game streak of winning the turnover battle, wins it once again. Pats are driving for a late-game heroic touchdown drive. Unfortunately, a tipped ball gets a pick from Drake May. But Mike Vrabel and company know that they'll see Buffalo again later this season at Gillette. Mm. They'll get the best of them later, but this one goes to the Orchard Parkers.
Thanks, Fitzy.
You're welcome, Roman.
Dan Ball.
Yeah, I'm following up Fitzy. Alex Cora says it best. We have a good baseball team. Well, the Patriots have a good football team, and they have a good quarterback, but they have played four patsies this season so far. This is a test, nothing even close to like what we've seen New England deal with so far this season. They're going to keep it close. It'll be a one-score game for most, but Buffalo's going to add a late touchdown. Give me Bills 35, Patriots 24.
Ooh, Stiz, come on, join the good side.
I love how you guys staying positive, picking the Patriots, Andy and Ted.
Come
unfortunately,
with us.
I'm not with you. Buffalo 27, Patriots 14.
Jeez.
Wow.
Who's
that's Brian not Frazoco a fun
got?
Watch.
We got a Frazoco pick?
Frazoco has Bills 31, Patriots 21. So we have the three producers and our guy Fitzy picking the Bills and Andy and Ted riding with
Let's
the
go,
Patriots.
Bro. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go, bro.
We got this. We also got Christian
Arkin. Genius never skips leg day.
That's right. Genius is jacked.
Two best friends that anyone can have.
Christian Arkin.
What's up, Big C?
Hello.
What do you got tonight? I never know your schedule.
We have
three or four.
3 hour show tonight with Boomer and Valenti taking up the 9 into a 10 o'clock hour. But we will have 3 hours, which is more than I've had, I think, all month.
Yeah.
Which is nice. We'll talk to Pat Brown from Play Tessie. Sean McAdam from Mass Live is going to join the show at 8 o'clock, too. A full on Red Sox Viking funeral tonight. We'll talk a little football, but it's mostly going to be a retrospective and look ahead here with this team.
Who I know you're always yelling and cranky and have some venom. Who's it directed at?
I think tonight it's not really venomous. Like, I don't feel venomous tonight. I was upset last night, and I was upset about certain plays in the game. There was some that I think weren't as bad as people made them out to be. But in general, you just sort of look at a game like that. They had no chance. Like, you, when you have no chance, they had a chance on Tuesday.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Or excuse me, on Wednesday. Like, they had a chance in that Bayo game against Rodon. They had no chance last night. Mm-hmm. And when you have no chance, sometimes you just have to be like, hey, you know what? What are you going to do? Even if you had Rafael Devers out there, what's he gonna hit, four home runs? Like, you could not touch that kid, and he wasn't really all that playful either. Like, it was just 101 right down the pipe, and they couldn't touch him. So, you know, like, I honestly, I feel like, and by the way, this rampage that he's on social media today,
oh, he's going down.
What's he doing?
Like, chill out, no.
What's he doing?
I'm enjoying that. Between Jazz, you know what I really, what's bothering me this morning and all throughout the day is the fact that there was never that spark that the Red Sox needed. They needed something to break up what he was doing and get a spark. And they had a chance to. When Slayton hit Aaron Judge, and Judge walked out and stared at him.
He did.
That
right.
could have been something. Yeah. What are you looking at? You know, like, what? Right. Nothing. And they needed that. They needed a spark. They needed to throw everything off and change the energy. And they just never. That was the one opportunity maybe they had. And it would have involved stepping to Aaron Judge, which I'm sure is not very much fun. But that would have been the chance to do it.
Okay.
Or David Hamilton, you know.
Maybe
stolen a base or something.
But your plan was for them to go at Slayton, who I don't know how big he is, but I'm sure
he looks
not.
Like a big boy.
I think he is, yeah. I don't know.
Is he 6'7", 280 or whatever Aaron Judge is? Because
you'd have to double-team Judge and then, you know.
We each grab a leg and you go for the head and somebody wrap around the midsection.
Like Gulliver.
Yeah, it was unfortunate. I'm sort of with you. I don't really have venom because I think reality just set in. Your lineup was what your lineup was. And their guy, who's young, threw 101 and made you look silly. Had a historic performance. And you know, it is what it is. That's
I think the most
Eaton
should have
gone.
The most venomous take I have is this team and its inability to play defense. That was a problem all year long, and it was a problem in the playoffs. Like, that's probably the thing I'm most upset about.
All right, stick around for more things that Christian Arkin is upset about on the Christian Arkin Show, 6 to 9 tonight, leading into Boomer and Valenti. We will enjoy the weekend. It's going to be beautiful in New England. We got a big Sunday night football game. Tune in afterwards for the Six Rings postgame show with Fitzy and Hart. And then on Monday, 2 to 6, Patriot Monday. Remember, we'll talk to Drake May fresh off his battle with Josh Allen. Talk to you then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.